Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. We want to wish you a happy new year and hope that your year is kicking off on a good note with the Lord. And we're certainly privileged to be with you this day and start your year off with you here on the radio. We are joined today with Pastor Al Davis with us again. We kind of figured the last couple of weeks. We did, of course, the Christmas broadcast last week, and we thought we'd end the year with a couple broadcasts together. I always enjoy having him in and his fellowship, and you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And I think we're agreed, and we walk together. And Pastor Al, I appreciate you. I love you. And I'm so thankful for the ministry. And thanks for being with us again today.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you allowing me to be on. And I do want everybody to know that if they stay tuned at 1:30, you're going to be on our program as well. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out where that noise is coming from.
Well,
we were silencing our phones before we started, and I think something came off my computer there. So I just heard somebody talking, and I thought,
is that Zuckerberg again?
We're being spied on here. I think somebody's not through making their list and checking it twice, maybe.
Well, maybe there's still time. I don't know. The you know, the vote for naughty and nice list doesn't have to be in by the 25th. Now you know,
as we saw with this election,
you got plenty
of
time.
Post office. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe started on next year's.
So anyway, we've got a good show for you today. As was mentioned, we're gonna combine our shows together and talk about some real. I think that things that are on our hearts and things that are on your hearts, and try to make sense of some things going on. And, you know, as we begin this new year, really the next few days are going to be so paramount in what this year is really going to be all about. And I think, Pastor Al, I think there's a sentiment across most people who are tuned in to any sense of what's going on. We've got some real trouble ahead of us, and I really think January 6th is that flashpoint day. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, depending on, you know, what's your, I want to talk about this just a little bit about what your take is on Mike Pence. And we talked a little bit about this before, but you know, he seems to have grown, you know, he seems to have been 100% for the most part, from what I understand, over the last 4 years, really lockstep with the president. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's just, maybe I'm feeding into some of the media stuff. I don't know. But man, what do you think? I mean, is he going to certify this election? Is he going to hold off like constitutionally? We believe constitutionally he has the obligation to do. What do you think about Mike Pence?
Well, and what we're talking about, in case some of our listeners are not sure what we're talking or not familiar, on January 6th, which it's hard to believe, just less than a week from New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And it's when, according to the United States Constitution, the House will be joined with the Senate in the House chambers.
Yeah.
And then the President of the Senate, which is the Vice President, that's Mike Pence,
yeah.
They will open the electors' votes from the various states, and they will then count and certify the vote there. Nobody is actually president-elect until that vote takes place. I know Joe Biden's got his fancy
background
with the office and puts out the office of the president. There's no such office, and he is not president-elect until and if he's certified as that on January 6th. Now, this is not unusual. This is the Constitution.
Yeah.
And at that time, several things can happen. A sitting representative or joined with a senator can challenge any of the votes at that time. This has happened. People are going to, if this happens, and I'm confident that it will, many people are planning on it. And of course, the media is going to say, this is a threat to our Constitution, a threat to our country.
Democracy. They'll say this.
They don't say Republic.
No, yeah. They'll say threat to democracy.
Yeah. And of course, you know, it's like it's never happened before in the history. It happened 4 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago, some of the electoral votes were challenged that went for Donald Trump in the Hillary camp challenged them. But so it happens. It happens all the time. It's not unconstitutional. It is constitutional. But the other thing is that as the vice president, it appears that he has the sole authority to decide right there on the spot which votes count and which ones don't. And what makes this important is several states, such as Arizona, have competing electors right now. The governor and secretary of state sent a slate of electoral votes for Vice President Biden. And the legislature sent a slate of electoral votes for Donald Trump.
So let's stop there for a moment. Let's explain how that works, because so now Mike Pence is sitting there and he's opening the votes. Mm-hmm. How does that work with the competing electoral votes?
Well, he is, my understanding of the Constitution and the 12th Amendment in particular, is he has to look at it and decide if he's got two conflicting slates of votes, which one are the constitutionally correct ones.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of responsibility, and since the courts have decided not to weigh in on this, the courts have just, they've not found against President Trump's court challenges. They just haven't heard them. They refuse to hear them. So they've not done their duty in terms of weighing in. So now he's got a list from the governor and secretary of state's office, and he's got a list from the state legislature. Well, when he looks at the 12th Amendment of the Constitution, it says the legislatures are responsible. And so if I were Mike Pence, I would say I've got two conflicting lists here. Constitution is clear. It's the legislators, not the governor and the secretary of state, that send the electors. And so he should go with what the legislature says. Now, this is where another part comes in, and this is something that is kind of interesting, is that my understanding is that when he looks at these, if he looks at a state like Pennsylvania, for instance, and of course it was just in the news here recently where Pennsylvania, a CPA who happens to be a state representative in Pennsylvania, put out a study where he calculated the number of votes and the number of registered voter, or the number of people who actually showed up to vote. There's more votes than people who voted.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of hard to have more votes than voters unless there's some kind of manipulation or some kind of shenanigans. And it's not like, you know, two or three. It's like over 100,000, around 200,000 or something.
Like, 205,000.
And then I think and then there's like about 30-some thousand, 31,000 or something like that that might be explained a little bit differently. But however you look at it, there's 170 to 200 and some thousand votes more than can be explained by just accident.
So let me ask you a question. So let's take Pennsylvania, for instance, where we know that we it's clear. I mean, millions or thousands, hundreds of thousands more came in than actually were sent out, you know, the absentee or mail-ins, whatever. So the it's been declared that Biden has won Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they come before Mike Pence, but now the courts in Pennsylvania have not done anything regarding the validity or validating the election.
Nor have the federal courts.
Exactly. So how does Mike Pence at that point then know just to go with the legislatures? I mean, really, that's up to the state then. He's just looking at what's before him and saying, okay, the legislature sent me this.
Mm-hmm.
How they got to that conclusion, I can't concern myself with, because the states were supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they've sent that, then I have a constitutional obligation just to take what that legislature does, no matter what the declared, and it's only been declared by the media, we know that, but obviously the governor has certified it. So So I'm just trying to understand this myself a little bit. As I told you at lunch that, you know, I'm learning a whole lot about this constitution, this whole process. It's pretty exciting, actually, to see how many guards that our founders built into the Constitution to prevent somebody from having the ability to come in and steal an election.
Right, and see, that gets down to it, because I just heard, heard recently how it's interesting that you don't really hear any of the Democrat leaders crowing about, 80-some thousand or million votes for Biden, this huge number, because they know it's not true as well. It's so blatantly obvious. So this brings us to the other thing that Vice President Mike Pence can do. As he's looking at that, he can say, well, the election in Pennsylvania was clearly unconstitutional because the state Supreme Court, or state court, I guess it was state Supreme Court, Commonwealth in Pennsylvania's case, they changed election laws. And by, of course, the U.S. Constitution and the Pennsylvania Constitution, apparently, only the state legislature can change election law. So it's clearly an unconstitutional election. And so he can declare that all of the electors from Pennsylvania are invalid because there was not a constitutional presidential election.
Yeah.
And so they can just be thrown out completely. And there's about six or seven states that this could happen to. So now the question then becomes whether or not they're challenged. You know, Vice President Pence can declare that the vote in those states was unconstitutional, and so he refuses to accept the electors from that state, which, of course, we all know you need 270 electoral votes. That gives you one above the majority, to make the majority gives you one above the halfway point. And so if nobody gets the 270, then the House will then, according to the 12th Amendment, vote one state or one vote per state who will become president. And the interesting thing is, and I'm not 100% certain myself, because I've heard good people on both sides say that if these states are eliminated because he declares that their election was unconstitutional, then the number of votes needed decreases, because if you take away 20 electoral votes, then it wouldn't be 270 that's needed. I believe it would drop to 260, for instance. And if you take away another 20, then it would be down to 250. And so, therefore, if you take away certain states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, New Mexico, and Georgia, I think the calculations were that President Trump would probably win by about 10 electoral votes. On the other hand, if he doesn't rule the vote unconstitutional and he just simply says, I'm going with those provided by the legislature, and it somehow winds up that neither candidate gets 270, then, of course, it goes to the the legislature to pick that, and that's one vote per state, which most state delegations, the majority are dominated by Republicans.
Yeah, I think it was 27 to 21.
And then the new House comes in. I think it's going to be about 30.
Is it really? So that 27-21 was as it stands.
But regardless,
right now,
Okay. That would give the Republicans the advantage, and that would appear that Donald Trump would be elected constitutionally.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing.
Constitutionally, he would be elected for four more years.
But it goes to, I look at my ignorance on the Constitution, and and trying to learn more about it, and why didn't I know this before, and all these things. And, I know we talked about the Constitution when I was in school and, growing up, but not to the intricacies of what we're finding out about today. And I'm so glad there's scholars out there that help us to understand and put pieces together. But even as you're talking, I believe the one when it talks about the Electoral College, you think about all the years, we've had different amounts of states for these times. And, there were different numbers, so it wasn't always 270. It was always whoever has the majority of the votes.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I mean, so even as we're talking through this, you know, you remove those states. If they're completely removed, then, yeah, it's just whoever's got the majority. But if they're kept in there, then they get added. You still have to hit the 270, which, to be honest, we know Donald Trump will he'll be reelected. I mean, at this point on, from this point on, it is all in his favor.
I think
as
so.
Far as constitutionally, it's just a matter of, do we have the men and women that have been elected to office that are going to stand and enforce and abide by, I should say, abide by the Constitution? And I think that's where there's a lot of skepticism.
Yes. And of course, that's where we've had skepticism. Some people think, well, a vice president is not going to stand up and do what is being asked of him. I heard one, or saw one thing where they said, well, he might want to run again as a moderate in 2024. And I'm thinking to myself, well, he's never really portrayed himself or run as a moderate before. He has a strong Christian testimony.
Yeah.
And he has been a staunch supporter in everything that he's done with President Trump. And so I keep saying I'm cautiously optimistic that he will stand up and do the right thing. And this is, I wanted to read this verse in Psalm 144, verse 15, where it says, happy is the people that is in such case, yea, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. And this is where it's so important. People don't understand how important it is to elect godly individuals to public office, because I'm right now, I guess, my optimism for President Trump getting four more years, in a sense, is based on two things. One, I think, from what I've seen, what I've heard, I believe that Donald Trump put his faith in Christ about 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago probably now, and he was a baby Christian when he was elected. And I think if you listen, we talked before about the Christmas speech that he gave.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. How is it you described it better than preaching?
Yeah, I think he did better than some independent Baptist preachers.
I mean, it was fantastic. He lifted up our Savior. He exalted Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it was tremendous. I've seen him grow. I mean, this is a far cry from the man who started his campaign saying, well, I don't really think I've done anything I need to be forgiven for, you know, bluster and bravado and braggadocious and all that sort of stuff. The reason some Christians did not want to vote for him. But yet there's been a change in the man. And I said on our program, I think we've talked about it before, about how he's been a friend and a defender of the Jewish people the state of Israel, of the unborn children, of the Christians. I think that's three reasons right there where God would bless him. Yeah. But then again, we look at Vice President Pence, and I've had the opportunity to see him in person speaking and hear him a number of times on the internet, and he always talks about how he's a Christian first, a conservative second, and a Republican third. And he's got a strong Christian testimony, and he's even been mocked for some of the things that he does or does not do as a Christian. And so we've got two people here that appear to be born-again Christians. And this is the kind of people that if we had more of them in charge, and this gives me the confidence that Mike Pence will hopefully do the right thing, because if he's a Christian first, a conservative second, then his loyalty is going to be to God and then to our Constitution, and then a Republican third, then to President Trump. And I think he'll stand up and do the right thing, led of God, and happy is the people, that people whose God is the Lord, because if we have people in office who are looking to God for what they are doing and have God's blessing on them, I think we should be able to have greater confidence in them than otherwise.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I've always said this, I've never elected or voted for somebody because they were Christian or not. Because that, you know, my King is Jesus.
Amen.
You know, he's my Lord, he's my governor. But I want people that are going to support my right, my opportunity to worship God, exercise my faith in the public square, right? And that's and to do the right thing. I think Moses and David both, when they during their time of instructing the people, they both talk about this as far as types of people. If when you get, in fact, I think Moses says, you know, when you get to the point where you're going to call for a king. He's like, even though you shouldn't do it, when you get to the point you call for a king, make sure these men have these qualities, you know? And one of them is just.
Right.
Now, I don't interpret that myself as somebody has to be saved or born again, but just being fair, honest, mm-hmm. truthful. And I think President Trump has done that.
Yes.
Especially in he has leveled the playing field for all people. And what has happened? Everybody mm-hmm. has gone up, except for the ones who didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what's happened. So by his, and God blesses that because it relieves the oppression and it brings liberty. And so, you know, he's a defender of liberty. And so that's what I like about, and you know, Mike Pence obviously has stood by his side, has done that, just like a vice president is kind of like a lieutenant governor, right? I mean, it's just a figurehead in case something happens.
He's David's Joab in a sense.
Yeah. Hey, Joab, you know, got on there. He was a strong leader. But yeah, and you know, so regardless of how that is, I'm to the point where I want constitutional representation. Like,
right.
We talk about, you know, the Boston Tea Party was what, about taxation without representation. Do we really feel that we're being represented right now? I mean, every tax time I've got to pay this city and this city and this city. I'm thinking, I don't have any representation in those cities, but I got to pay taxes, mm-hmm. you know? And you just get to the point where you're like, you know, they're not representing us anymore. And so we need people that are going to represent the Constitution and understand it and have the backbone. I told our church probably 2 months, or well, whenever the election was, November 3rd, it was shortly after that, and probably a few weeks after, I said, church, I said, the biggest concern I have is Christians being able to stomach mm-hmm. what actually needs to happen in order to preserve this republic.
Right.
Because for some reason along the way, and it's probably because of the watered-down Bibles that are used in most churches today, it says it was going to, you know, water everybody down. Creeps were going to come in, and Peter talks about it in Jude. And there's an effeminacy mm-hmm. with most Christian men today in the average Christian church today. And they're not up for the fight. And I think going also talking about President Trump, about what people didn't like about the way he spoke, they didn't like the way he acted. He was a man's man in that sense. Mm-hmm. Now, he's got a lot of baggage, and do you, and so do I, and so does everybody's got stuff in their past. That's the glory of Christianity and redemption, and, you know, praise the Lord, we move on, and we're forgiving. I think it was Dennis Prager said one time, you know, we're a nation of second chances.
Mm-hmm.
You mess up, okay, but you get it right next time, and people will forgive you and move on. And I think that's happened with them. And I hope he has gotten saved. And I hope that's the case. But to me, I want somebody who's going to represent. And in my time, there's never been a president in my life who has defended the Constitution and my right to exercise my religious liberty, which we know stems everything else, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very cautiously optimistic with you as far as that this is going to get done. Well, listen, we're just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for listening. I hope that you can stay tuned. I'm going to be with Brother Al on his show here in after a little bit of a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some of these things. Pastor Al, thanks for being on today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you in just a bit.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. www.northcoastbaptistchurch.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.